Okay. First John, okay? Father, tonight as we have gathered together to fellowship, and Father, the Christ is fellowshipping from one another horizontally. Father, we just stand in awe of your patience, your long-suffering with us. Father, truly, humanity is a stiff-necked people. They're hard-headed. And Father, your patience supersedes anything that our understanding could understand. How you could love us when we do so many vile and evil things through our lives. But Father, your word is laid out for us to learn your nature and to know that you are love. And Father, that love is unconditional. There is no strings attached to it. But yet, Father, there's a balance in your word that says we must reap what we sow. And Father, tonight as we have gathered together, Father, let us truly hear your heart. Let us hear what the Spirit was saying through John as he wrote these words. Father, I know he was a man after your heart. But Father, I see him no different than any person sitting in this room. He was humanity with Christ in him. So Father, tonight, as you spoke through your apostle John, Father, will you speak through us tonight? May we hear you tonight. Each and every one of us, may we hear the heart of our Father speaking to us as we study this passage tonight. Father, we love you. We bless you. Father, for the ones that's not here, we release your love of blessings to them. And Father, we just encourage each and every one of our brothers. Amen. Chapter 1 of 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you that we also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Father, help us tonight to understand this stuff. Back to that first verse. That which was from the beginning. That which. Literally, the language should say, the one that was from the beginning. What is the one that was from the beginning? God. It's God. Which was from the beginning, whom we have heard. Or who are they talking about? Christ, the Jesus that walked on the earth, the Christ that spoke through Him. In John, the Gospel of John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you drop to the 14th verse, and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're talking about Jesus, right? Now, when he said that in the Gospel of John, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, What did that mean?
Born?
Well, yeah, he was. But see, he wasn't just born one time. He was born in every one of us. See? And when the Word became flesh, although we weren't aware of it, there's a seed that was deposited in all of humanity at the very time that Christ came to this world. As, you know, when he cleansed this temple after the crucifixion. But when we come to this place in God that the Spirit comes over us, just like he did with Mary, that's our soul, and we get impregnated with the Word of God, that seed comes alive in us. That's the Word of God made what? Made flesh in you. It's no different, the pattern that was done with Mary and with Jesus being born. Jesus the Son is born in you. Are you not the church? That's the female, isn't it? And the female produces what? The Son. It's the same pattern. Just as surely as Mary produced Jesus, we, the church, can produce the Son in our own lives. I don't think God ever had an intention for having this great big organization. Okay? From the very beginning, they got together in houses and met, didn't they? From house to house, they met and shared the Word. The ones that God had enlightened in the Word, He was trying to bring the truth and spread it out. It's no different today. The Christ is being born in every one of us. Right? So, he said, the one that was from the beginning, who we have heard, who we have seen with our own eyes, who we have looked upon, and our hands have what? When it says handled, it literally doesn't tell it all. It means it handled completely or just had her hands all over him. Something like you'd be like someone's, you see two people in love and they just can't keep their hands off each other. You know what I'm talking about? You should if you're married. You should be that way. Brother, we're going to have a conference. Because that's the way it should be. Just because we reach the age of 50 or 60 or 70 doesn't mean we don't have that affection. And that's what he's talking about. Christ, he was so affectionate. The husband and wife relationship, it never dies. You know, we might pass through this life, but our affection and love for each other should never die. It should just be greater as the days go on. I know a lot of young people don't understand that. They say, oh, that's gross. Well, you can think what you want, but just because you're new on the scene don't give you any lock on anything, do they? Okay. It was before us, too. But it said, we've handled completely all over of the Word, or completely are all over the Word of life. Now this word here, what do you know what word it is? It's logos, and that means the Christ. So we should have, if I got my hands, now keep it up here in your mind. If me and my wife are in love and I have my hands all over my wife, what does that tell you about our relationship? Yes, we love each other. We're having a very intimate relationship, right? So he's telling you, by handling this Word of God all over, what kind of a relationship are they having with Christ? See? They're having an intimate relationship with the Christ. Why do you think he gives us all these analogies, this intimate relationship? It's not just saying, hey, how you doing? See y'all next week. And next week, I mean, hey, how you doing? Good to see you again. See you next week. Is that intimate? It's not intimate to me. I don't know. My intimacy is a whole lot different than that. What are we getting back here? Okay. Now, he said, they've done all this because the life was what? Literally made visible or known. And we have seen it and bear witness and announced to you that ageless life, which was with the Father and was made visible or known unto us. So they're saying, we had this life that was made known unto us. It was made visible unto us. They saw God walking in a vessel of humanity. Would you agree with that? And they're saying, in this vessel of humanity, we saw the love of God. We saw that Christ in him. It wasn't humanity. We saw God in that vessel. And he said, now we're going to make it known to you. You think maybe we should pay attention to what's coming? Huh? These men, when John wrote this, and notice what he says. I love this word. Look at the second verse again. Because the life was made visible or known, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show it to you that eternal life was, which was with the Father and was made apparent or made visible or known to us. But he said, we have seen it. Now, who was writing this thing? Well, who else is he talking about? Huh? Absolutely, all of us. We have all seen. You know what? We just didn't believe it. We just didn't believe it. We just didn't believe it. Hey, to enter the kingdom, the book says, you must be like a little child. Right? That's all it takes. Open your heart to God and God will speak. Verse 3. The one that we have seen and heard declare we to you in order that you may have what? Fellowship. Now this word fellowship is koinonia, and it means partnership, it means intimacy, and it means a social intercourse. Now when we say social intercourse, and that's what the language literally says, what does that mean? It's an intimate relationship. It's not anything sexual. It says social intercourse in the language. It's talking about an intimate relationship that we know a lot about each other. Okay? We should know each other's lives, shouldn't we? If we are family in the Spirit of God, what have I got to hide from anybody in here?
Nothing.
My life is open. You can read anything in my life you want to. Like I talked last weekend, I'm an easy target. I can say, you can shoot at me anytime you want to because I won't hide anything. God spoke to me a long time ago when I was in the Methodist church and had that little meeting with the out there at the Loudoun. And the Baptist came in that morning, and the man was trying to control me and what to say, and I just shared everything in my life that I had been in a mental institution that had locked me up because of depression, because so many things in my life had been wrong, and I just, you know, I didn't know what to do except tell the truth. That's what was in my heart to share. That man liked to have a hissy fit on me. Don't you ever tell people like that stuff again. I said, why? I'm free. Nobody, I don't have to worry about nobody dragging nothing out of the closet because I'm not ashamed of what happened in my life. I didn't do anything. Situations put me there. Injuries put me there. I didn't put myself there. I didn't say, hey, I think I'll just go nuts today. Yeah? But I got to a place where I couldn't handle things. And I was in a bad way. And it wasn't long after that God took over. He had to take me to the bottom to bring me back up. See? It's okay. I'm not ashamed of it. I did nothing wrong. Everybody at some time will have a pressure on you so great that you feel like you can't handle it. Every one of us. And if we deny that, all we're doing is putting skeletons in the closet that somebody can come around and rattle and scare us to death with them. Well, you know what? If you put them out in the open, they can't scare you. What do I care what people knows about it? Put it in the newspaper. I don't care. It doesn't bother me a bit. It's past. This fellowship, this koinonia, right? What kind of fellowship is he talking about here? The one that we have seen, verse 3, and heard, declare we to you, in order that, now he's declaring it to you, he's announcing it to you, this one that has been manifested to them. We're talking about Christ, aren't we? So this is being manifested to us for what purpose? Absolutely. So you can have the same intimate relationship that they had. Now John put his head on the bosom of Jesus, didn't he? And he listened to his heart. And John says, I want you to have that same intimate relationship with God that I had. and said, I'm going to expose him to you. I'm going to announce him to you, all about his life, so you can have the same relationship that he had. See, I'm not jealous or envious one bit of what John the Apostle did when he laid his head on Jesus' chest. Way back there. I'm not envious because I can have him today. The same thing. That's why he wrote this. We can have that same relationship right now. It's no difference when one of you hug me. I can have the Christ right there hugging me. Why? Because he's in you. I don't have to be envious of what these men went through. We got our own hell to walk through. But see, I got the Christ just like they do. There's only one of them, isn't there? See, if we got Christ, we got the same one they had, right? So we got nothing to worry about them people, do we? They were men of like passions, the Bible said. Even all the men in Hebrews 11 in the chapter of faith. They were like men with like passions. They weren't anything different than us, were they? Except back there, they didn't have what we got today. They had shadows and types, and we got the reality. So which one would you rather have? I want the reality. I'd rather have the reality of Christ than have my name stuck in a book. You know what I mean? That don't mean a thing to me. I want the reality of Christ in my life today. I don't want to wait on it. They said, we do this in order that you may have fellowship, right? Literally the four, I see my number, my numbering system. It says that you may have fellowship what? Literally that word with is meta, and it means in the midst of you. Okay? Now, when he's saying this, that you may have fellowship in the midst of us. We have three feasts that we talk about, the three major feasts. What are they? Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. Another name for tabernacles, ingathering. Feast of oneness. Okay? Now, once these people have came through the feast, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, into the Feast of Oneness, didn't Jesus say, Father, make them one with me as I am one with you? Once they have become one with the Father, okay, in tabernacles, then he says, now you can fellowship the same way as what we did with us in the midst of us. Where's that at? In our spirit, in the midst of us. We can have the same fellowship. There's nothing lacking that we can't have that they had. The fact is, from the first century on, it's all here. We just didn't believe it. We have let religion run us way out around the mountain somewhere and not have the reality of Christ in you. And it's no longer a hope, because Christ is the glory. See? It was Christ in the Gentiles, the hope of glory. It's not the hope of glory in us, is it? If we have Christ, what do we got? We got a whole bunch of glory. See, it's not the hope of glory in my life anymore. It's not the hope of glory in your life anymore. It's a reality. Is it? Yes. It's a reality in your life. Don't let somebody tell you it's a hope, it's going to come. That's Old Testament news. New Covenant says the reality's here. It's in us right now. But we have fellowship in the midst of us, and truly our fellowship, or koinonia, is in the midst of the Father and in the midst of His Son, Jesus Christ. That word with is meta, same thing, in the midst of. So, where's the fellowship at? God is spirit. He seeks those to worship Him in spirit and truth. So the only way we touch God is in the spirit. And whenever we touch the spirit of God, whether it's in Helen or Phil or Ed or anybody else in this room, we're touching them where? In the spirit. We're going to touch God in some way. We've got to touch our spirit. We've got to forget about the flesh and the soulish realm and all this garbage. All we need to do is touch the spirit. Touch the spirit of God. You think these electric sockets would give you a jolt? If you touch the spirit of God, I can't tell you what it feels like. You've got to experience God. And when you feel God, I'm not a big person into a lot of emotions, but I know when I feel God. See? And ain't nobody got to tell me about that. And ain't nobody got to tell me what I got to do to get that, because I know I've got it. See, nobody can convince me I ain't got it. That's way past. See, God spoke to me a long time ago, and when He did, it was over.
person of good and evil lived in me, three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Been there. And God revealed to me today that me, that's me.
Absolutely. You mean you wasn't reading the Bible? God spoke to you and you wasn't reading the Bible? Wow. Good Lord. You must be spiritual. But you know it now. Can anybody take it away from you? When you hear it, God spoke to me years ago and said, at a point in my life, I'd been with God for several years, knowledgeable, knowing what's going on, some growing through. And he said, now you're a son destined to reign. I told that to someone, made them mad. Well, I'm sorry. I don't care whether it makes everybody mad. I know what God spoke to me. Nobody's taking that away from me. Nobody. I'll take it with me right to the grave. That's okay. I'm taking it with me.
Once you have that intimacy with the Christ,
sure. Why do you think very seldom do I ever, I love some upbeat music at times, but I love worship music. Once you've went into the Holy of Holies and you've tasted this good things of the world to come, the age to come, he's just give you a taste of it. You want to go back and I don't want to go back no more. I want to stay in that Holy of Holies. I know I can't stay there. Right now I have to go in and out. I know that. But that's all I want to do. Every now and then I'll get a little wound up, but I just want to worship. I just want to worship Him. And if I'm not mistaken, that's what the book said we were created for. Okay? And all I want to do is what I've been created to do, worship God. And that doesn't mean that we're on our knees praying all the time or anything. There's a lot of ways to worship God. But you have to hear God's voice before you can do it. I didn't know how to worship God until He taught me how to worship Him. He's a great teacher. He'll teach you anything you desire. If you really want it, you'll get it. On this fellowship deal here, it says that we may have fellowship in the midst of us, that you also may have fellowship in the midst of us, and truly our fellowship is in the midst of the Father and in the midst of His who? The word Son here is weos. Now that's not brephos, nepios, pateon, technon. It's weos. That's mature Son. See? So the fellowship comes through with Son. See? It's not the baby. It's the mature Son. Everyone starts out as a baby, but we have to progress. And until the Son grows up, He can't have relationship with the Father. Phil and Helen have sons. Ed has sons. When your sons were younger, did you have the same relationship you do now as they are when they're young men now? You look at them differently, don't you? They look at you differently, don't they? Because they're now also adults in the same category as mom and dad. We're all adults now, right? So you look at each other differently. You have a different relationship than when you're little. And truly, when you're little, it's kind of a one-sided relationship. Because when the kids are real little, they really don't understand all this relationship, do they? But as we grow older and understand the relationship, and our intellectual level comes up to where we can understand what's going on, we can truly have a real relationship and go both ways if we're honest with each other. Right? Makes it real nice. But this fellowship is with this mature Christ. And these things write who? He's talking about somebody besides Himself. The word we is not singular. It's a plural word. Right? So he's talking about basically all the people that's already pulled through there. Huh, that have experienced the Christ. To you, in order that what? Your joy may be full. Well, that word your is wrong. It's literally our. O-U-R. Just, you can scratch the Y off of it if you want to. That's what it literally says. Now, it might sound better that your joy may be full, but the language says our. Okay? Now, what would make the difference? What's the difference in this? See, that our joy may be full. There you go. When you get to give this manifested life to someone else, when you get to give the manifested life that God has given you to somebody else, what does it do to you? Oh, what can you do with it? I mean, you can't even hardly contain the emotions when you get to pass this life to somebody else and somebody else gets to see what you've been talking like. Everybody thinks you're crazy and all of a sudden somebody says, oh my God, I see it. Oh my God, I see it. What joy is there in that? See? So that's why he said, our joy may be full. When I can express the love of God to someone else, my joy is full. You want to make your joy full? Express the Christ to somebody else. See? It's not about him getting something. He's telling you the truth. When you express that Christ to someone else, you are going to get something back in return. You can't help it. When you see life come into somebody, you can't help it. It'll light you up. You won't need them sockets over to get a charge. I promise you. Verse 4 says, and these things write we to you in order that our joy may be full. They were already experiencing it with Christ, were they not? Well, you'd think they have everything, right? But see, that's a one-sided Christ, just to get it for myself. But when you share it with somebody, there's the fulfillment. See, Christ had everything with God, right? Instead, he emptied himself of all of his deity and come down here to be a man, to teach us and to show us. But whenever he gave this manifested life to everyone else, his joy was full too. Said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured even the suffering of the cross, right? Oh my. You mean I might die in it? You betcha. Guarantee it. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light. God is light. And in him is no darkness. The last two words, scratch them off. At all is added words. In him is no darkness. There's several ways we can look at this. God is light. That's illumination. That's understanding. Okay? God is the God of all wisdom and knowledge, right? Illumination. And in him there is no darkness, no ignorance, no lack of understanding. God understands everything. Right? Let me give you some scriptures. In fact, let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, because he talks about it. Okay? Chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 4, I think is where I want to start. Yeah. Everybody there? Gospel of John. Chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the what? You wonder why you see people beaming sometimes? Somebody who's walked into God and you just see that light in their eyes? It's the light of God. That life was the light of men. And the light shined into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Hello. There's all kinds of them not comprehending the light, and the light is shining right into them. They're not hearing or seeing. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, how many?
All.
Who'd that leave out? Imagine that. That all men might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. That word every right there is the same word as the word all on the previous verse. Same word, pas, means all. So that was the true light which lights every man. So how many people come in the world without getting the light of Christ? But now he just said some of them didn't comprehend that light, didn't he? So they're still remaining in darkness, although the light was in them. Right? Okay, let's look, same chapter, verse 18 through 21. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? Is that one I wrote down here? I think I missed something there. Wrong chapter. Let me look at something else here. Okay, it's chapter 3, I believe. Yeah, 18 through 21. I said chapter 1, chapter 3. Okay, he that believeth on him is not condemned. What's that? If we believe on God, we're not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. They're in darkness. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Now he's telling you this is the condemnation. Because they didn't believe, right? Now look what he says. That light is come into the world, and men loved what? Rather than light, because their deeds were? That's the condemnation. Because of the deeds, they can't see the light. The light's there, though, isn't it? For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, or manifest in God. What's he trying to say? What's he trying to say there? He says, the man who's doing evil things will not come to the light. Is that correct? Okay. Now, why is the other man who's doing the good things, okay? What's he say there? For everyone, but he that does truth, verse 21. But he that does truth comes to the light. Why does he come to the light? Because he wants it manifested that he's serving God. To reveal to other people, see? We walk in light for what reason? To reveal it to other people that this is really of God. See? There's all kinds of people today that are saying, this is God, this is God. And you see them walking like them snakes. They call them sidewinders, you know? Yeah. They're not walking a straight course. Right? You see it all the time. They're walking sideways. They're not walking that straight course. So guess what? It's made manifest that it's not of God. Is God doing that? Is God making it manifest that we can see that this is not of God? See, people say, don't judge me. Well, I'm going to tell you, judge me. Judge me. It's okay. Because if you judge my flesh, it don't mean a thing anyway. You judge the Christ in me. And if I judge the Christ in you, we can't not get along. Judge the Christ in me. You can judge my flesh all day long, I don't care. Because it's flesh and it's not going to inherit the kingdom of God, is it? That's it, see. Why would somebody say, don't look at me? Except they got something to hide. They're hiding all the evil works in their mind, see. Here's where it is. It's not really the sin, and I'm not going to get into it tonight, I don't think. Yeah, I am too. I think I am. We'll see. About the sin thing. Yeah, we're going to get into it a little bit. Let's look at John 8, verse 12. Jesus had just got done speaking to a woman, okay, who had been taken in adultery, right? Everybody know the passage? And what did everybody want to do? They wanted to stone her. And they took an opportunity to try to catch Jesus in some kind of a duality of his thinking, which didn't work. I can't call the scripture to mind right at the present. I could pull it out and show it to you. But why do you think he stooped down and did this in the sand? What do you think he was doing there? There's a scripture in Jeremiah. I can't bring it out. And he said, the ones that forsake him, their name would be written in the dust. And them Pharisees know it real well. They know the letter of the law. And when they seen Jesus stoop down, he was writing their names down. He wrote on the ground, right. See, but it didn't say what he wrote. No, he was writing down and showing them that they had forsaken him. And they felt condemned, and they all went out. They all left. They knew they were wrong in judging her. Okay? There's scripture in Jeremiah, and I can't think of it right now. Wasn't planning on going there, it just came in. Anyway, okay, we're down to verse... I want to start with verse 11. Or 10, she said, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none of them but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Right? We're literally, don't offend anything anymore. Don't offend the law anymore. And then Jesus spoke again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the Pharisees therefore said unto him, you bearest record of yourself, your record's not true. Put it in plain English today. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Well, who are we? We're the Christ on the earth today. This isn't all going about just because it's just flopping around like God saying, wonder where it's going next. This thing's already been set in a course. He chose people. He chose human vessels to work through. And we have a responsibility to bring this manifested life that John's talking about here to the rest of creation. We have that obligation. Paul says it this way. We have been given the message of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. It's not a doctrine. It's a job he gave us to do. Didn't he say, greater works than these shall you do? He said, we're going to do greater works than what that man, Jesus, that walked on this earth with God in him, you're going to do greater works. Why? Because you got the message of reconciliation. Jesus only come to get 10%. We got to do 90% of it. See? Huh? Could Jesus have done it all? Oh, he could have. But it wasn't in God's plan. He could have. He's all powerful. He could do anything he wants, couldn't he? But he's only doing what the Father wanted him to do. And he only sent him for one purpose. That's to get the 10%. To get the tithe. The first fruit. Okay? But in this verse 5, he's telling us that in God there is total illumination. Doesn't the scripture say, and John does say it a little later on, you have an unction from the Holy One. You ever remember reading that? You have an unction. Literally, it's an anointing. It's a smearing or an anointing. Okay? A rubbing of grease on you. That was an anointed way of anointing you. You have an anointing. What is the anointing? It's the Christ. And you know some things. See? Total illumination in God. When you realize that the Christ is in you, you will have that illumination of Christ. What did Jesus have? Everything that the Father had. See? He poured out His Spirit upon us without measure. So guess what? We don't have to be lacking in anything, do we? The only thing we lack is right here. We don't believe what God said. And that's what it was all about. All Abraham did was believe God. He didn't say, well, I believe there is a God. He believed what God said. Doesn't the Scripture bear that out? Because Abraham believed God, he was accounted unto him for righteousness. See? That's all I need to know. If Abraham can get it by believing, how are we going to get it? By believing. Same thing. See, we just have to open our eyes up and see it. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship, the koinonia, the partnership, the intimacy, the social intercourse, or really the really true intimate relationship with Christ, and do what? Well, this word walk here is wrong. And I'm going to tell you what it should be. You look in the language and see if it's not there. What's that one? If we say that we have this intimate relationship with Him and live in what? Or ignorance. Hello. We're talking about an illumination here versus no illumination. If we say that we have an intimate relationship with Him and yet we walk in ignorance, guess what? What's it say? We're lying. Who are we lying to? Ourselves. If we walk, if we say we have intimacy with Him or fellowship with Him, and we walk in ignorance, isn't that kind of duality? Not kind of, it is. Didn't James say that a double-minded man is unstable in what? And then he said, let that man not think that he'll receive anything of God. When we walk in darkness, we receive nothing. It's ignorance. And that's where most of the church is. Okay? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and live in darkness or ignorance, we lie and do not the truth, right? And that truth is what? Now, we're not talking about temporary truth in the world. We're talking about the truth of God. We're talking about the Word of God. Okay? We don't do the truth of God if we're walking in darkness. If you don't understand it, how could you possibly do it? You can't. The only way we're going to understand is know that God has put His knowledge within you. The reason that most people don't believe what God says is because they rely on what they've heard. They just listen to what they've heard. People say, you're too dumb. You can't, it's above us. We can't do all that studying. I'm going to tell you, I'm a redneck hillbilly from southern Ohio with no education, and if I can read that book and God can illuminate me, He can illuminate any person on the face of this earth. I have no education. I have no credentials, but I know God. Now, I got something they ain't got. They can take their sheepskins. I got one hanging in the corner back there. They can take their sheepskins and do whatever they want with them, but they don't have a relationship with God. I don't have to worry about being alone because it doesn't come from an organization. It doesn't come from a group of people saying, yeah, you're a good guy. That's not it. There you go. I don't have to have someone's approval to do what God has put in my heart to do. I just got to do what my Father has told me to do. That's it. Cindy, what's my favorite verse, the one you made for me? Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news, to set the captive free, to bind up the wounded, and all the rest of it. See, God's the one that does the anointing. He's the one that places it on people to do it, right? I don't have some special anointing. I got the same Christ you got. There's no difference in me. I've got a different job to do, but you've got the same Christ. The book says that every gift as the Spirit desires it to be, as He wants it. You got the same Christ I got. There's not a whole bunch of Christ running around doing all kinds of different things. I know our carnal world today, everybody's specialists. But see, We don't have a specialist Christ to do this and a specialist Christ to do that. We got one Christ and He does it all. It's the same. Verse 7. But if we live in the light as He is in the light, we have the fellowship or that intimate relationship, right? One with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all what? You know what the Word really says? This right here. Offense. I hate that word, sin. Religion has made it such a vile, nasty thing. It's an offense. Has anyone ever committed an offense? But when we walk in that darkness, verse 6 again, we're walking in the ignorance of something. What is it? We're walking in the ignorance of the divine things. Okay? That's literally in the language. We're walking in the ignorance of divine things. So when we say we're in the light and walk in ignorance or darkness, we're in ignorance of divine things or God things. Say it plain, God things. Right? If we're in ignorance, darkness, we don't have a clue where God's at. Notice this. Verse 7. If we walk in the light or live in the light as He is in the light, doesn't God live in the light? We have that intimate relationship, right? One with another. Who do we have relationship with? One another. One another. See, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Why? Because the Christ is in you. The same God that's in me is within you, isn't it, Linda? So if I'm walking in the light, then I have to have fellowship with the rest of the light. What part of the light can be cut off? Hello.
That's the reason you have that feeling when you run up against people.
Sure it is. You can walk by somebody and never even speak to them, and you look at them and you know. Maybe never even speak as you pass in a crowd, and you'll just know that life's in that person. Never talk to them, but you know the life was there. Maybe what you should do when you feel that is talk to somebody. You'd be surprised what you might find out from that person because they have the same life you got. Verse 8, if we say that we have what? Literally, it should say, if we have not offended, who do we deceive? And the truth is not in us. Now, this truth, again, is concerning God. We're not talking about worldly truths that you're totally stupid and you can't find your head to scratch it, you know. We're talking about you have no knowledge of godly things. Now, I'm not talking about how to pray or doing all this. I'm not talking about what the church says. I'm talking about the purpose of God in your life. If you have no knowledge of the divine things that God's working and purpose in your life, the rest of it don't mean nothing. Does it? I got to know what's in my life first. Would that make sense? You got to know what's in your life, God, what God wants for you in your life first. If I don't get my life in order, how can I help anybody else? That's what's wrong with the church today. Everybody wants to grab a Bible and go out and preach to somebody. Well, until they're ready, what are they going to bring? It's just confusion and turmoil. When I first got in church, they threw the book on me right off. They had me in the pulpit preaching within 2 or 3 months. I was running to 26 or 27 churches, 2 and 3 a day sometimes. I was like giving a kid a gun and a machine gun and a crowd of people and saying, have fun. I was mowing them down. I thought I was doing good, but I was plumb ignorant. I didn't know about God's ways. And until God changed my life, I had nothing to give. I had darkness right then. You know, there was a light in me. And in fact, the day when Cindy came over to the church of that day, she said, "What do you look like that for?" I said, "I can't help it. I can't help it. What do you look like that for?" And I said, "I've been changed. I don't know why. All I know is God intervened in my life. I'm glad He did. I'm going to tell you one thing. It's been pure hell since then, but it's been a lot of good things." See? It's been hell. I mean, tell you the truth, it has. But man, it's good. See? It's good. See? My dad, bless his heart, he said there hadn't been no preachers. Hadn't been no preachers in here, in our family for years. And he prayed, told everybody in five counties around here and over in Kentucky and every place else. He'd go to every church that had a door open every night, pray for my son Dave. He's going to bust the gates of hell wide open, and he didn't know how prophetic he was. I ain't worried about hell no more. I can break it wide open because it's not real. Bless his heart. He didn't know. He knows now, I guarantee you. He's probably cheering. Oh, boy. But if we say we have not offended, we deceive ourselves, and the truth concerning God is not in us. Well, if it's not about God, what do I want to know about it anyway? See? The rest of stuff doesn't make any difference. Verse 9, if we confess or acknowledge our offenses, He is faithful and just to forgive our offenses, or literally, yeah, offenses, and to cleanse us from all what? Literally, the word unrighteous here is from all injustice. Literally, he's talking about something deep within us. It's an injustice within us. It's a heart condition. And as long as we believe we are still in that dark realm, we have a lot of injustice in our heart. We can't treat nobody right. We can't even love ourselves, can we? It's a heart condition that he's talking about. So this injustice that's in us, it's not an injustice someone's doing to us. It's an injustice that we are doing to ourselves and everybody around us. We can't even possibly love somebody until this light has come into us. It's impossible. This worldly love is not an agape love. It's a conditional thing. You love me, I'll love you. Right? You got to love them when they hate you. Doesn't Romans say when we were yet sinners, He died for us? Is that love? How many in here is willing to lay down their life for somebody they don't even know that hates you? And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's not about loving the pretty people, is it? If we say that we have not offended, we make Him a liar. How many of you want to make Him a liar? Not me. And His word is not in us. The word here is the same word as the first word, the word there in chapter 1, verse 1. The last part of the first verse where it says, the word of life, same word, logos. And here they made it a little w where you can't see it, see? Because the writers didn't understand. I mean, the interpreters didn't understand what was being said. And His word is not in us. What's He really saying? His Christ is not in you. The mature Christ is not in you. He didn't say there's no Christ in you. He's saying the mature Christ isn't in you. The seed's there, but it's not come to maturity. Do you think John had some understanding of God? Do you think he knew the heart of God? He's talking about issues here. Man, they're right to the day today. You'd think John was living in our hip pocket, wouldn't you? He knows what's going on because he was speaking by divine illumination. He wasn't speaking out of his intellect. He was speaking from the heart of God. And you've got to see that you are that same person. John was a real person, but you are too. And the Christ that was in that John is the same Christ that's within you. He's always the same, isn't he? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. So if he was in John then, doing the things he's doing, and he's in you today, what's the difference? Christ isn't changing. It's the way we think. The only thing that's changed is the way as humanity thinks. If we get beyond what people tell us and hear what the Spirit of God tells us, oh my, watch out what's going to happen. You're going to see all kinds of illumination. Okay? You'll find out, Faye, he really is, isn't he? That's you. He's in you. That illumination is in you. And I don't care how tired your flesh gets, that illumination is still there. He's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. And you know what? He ain't taking the light out of you once he put it in you. Come on. It's there. Our flesh tells us that light goes out. Because we have a little momentary flare-up in the flesh. We get mad and we throw something. We kick something. We cuss or whatever. Does that mean the light went out? All it means is my flesh got in the way. Don't it? That's all it means. Does it mean God doesn't love you anymore? He's just showing you flesh. What are you supposed to do with flesh? In the Old Testament, you know what they did with flesh? They cut it off the bones and threw it on the altar of incense, the brazen altar, and burned it up. Yeah. See? When he reveals that flesh to you, just like Cindy said, some things revealed you didn't like, and you got some attitudes you didn't like, but you learn from them. You meditate on them. Go take them to the Lord and see what's going on. It's okay, isn't it? It's okay to have these emotions. Who gave them to us? God did. And these emotions are here to teach us. We're not to be in condemnation because I'm this way and you're that way. No, it's all here for a reason. Only the people that think we're all got to be look like one person, you know, be clones off of somebody, that's a stupid person. God made us different, just as unique as our thumbprints or fingerprints. You're just that unique in your thinking and everything else, and every bit of it has to come together to make the complete Christ. That's it. We all got to learn how to get together. And everybody wants to get separated today. They all want to go out and hide by themselves. It's no different than it's been all through humanity. They always want to go out by themselves. Well, that's not the answer. If he's calling us to the Feast of Tabernacles on the Mount Zion, we've got to come together. He didn't say, go pick your own mountain, did he? We've got to get on Mount Zion together. Any questions? Because I'm done.